Hi, my name is Anita Foster. I'm the Library Media Specialist at Autry Middle School in Kennesaw, Georgia.
Hi, I'm Ingrid Hansen. I'm the Library Media Specialist at Lindley Sixth Grade Academy in Mapleton, Georgia.
Hey everyone, I'm Lori Quintana, and I'm the Library Media Specialist at Griffin Middle School in Smyrna, Georgia.
Welcome to Everdue, Conversations from the Library.
Hey everyone, this is Lori, and I am so excited. I've been wanting to bring this person in for a podcast interview for some time now. She is my neighbor, and works in the elementary right next door to our middle school. And we got to know each other as West Georgia students, actually, because we had to do our observations for our programs, and I went to visit her at her elementary school, her previous elementary, I should say, and then she came to visit me at the middle school, and it just kind of boomed from there, I guess you could, or bloomed, not boomed, bloomed, not boomed.
We haven't boomed anything yet.
Boom.
And so today we have Susan McCurry, and she's a library media specialist at King Springs Elementary.
She's a phenomenal library media specialist.
Yes, phenomenal. And so she wasn't always my neighbor. She moved over from Fair Oaks Elementary. And so I was super excited when I knew who my new neighbor was going to be. But she doesn't do just one campus. She has two campuses in the district, K2, right? And then 3-5.
Correct.
But they are building a brand new King Springs Elementary School. Woo-hoo! And so I thought this was the perfect time to bring her in for an interview so she can kind of talk to us about that whole process and how her space is changing from what it was to what it will be. I'm sure fabulous, right? Mm-hmm. And what that's going to look like as far as impacting her teaching and leading from the library. So welcome, Susan.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be talking to you guys today.
And let me just say, I don't know if you know this or not, but I was a technology integration specialist before I was a library media specialist for 3 years. And one of my first schools I was assigned was King Springs. Uh-huh. That school needs a new campus.
Oh,
well, they're
yes,
getting one.
It does.
And they're going pretty quickly on it. We're talking, it's two stories and it's going to be beautiful. And
it's actually three stories.
Is it three? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. My goodness. Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be fairly fantastic.
So is the library up in the penthouse?
It's, I really am very excited because the original plan for the library was to have it over to the right-hand side of the building, somewhere between the cafeteria and the gym. Well, my principal, who's brilliant, and I love her, she's my most ardent supporter, Dr. Sweck, she said, no, I need to have this space down on the instructional side.
I love it.
Of
awesome.
The building. And so she had them move it down there, which is a real huge blessing, because when we open the doors in August of 2020 in this new campus, we won't have a gym yet. That side of the building will not be done.
Yes, they're borrowing our second gym at the middle school. Yeah. So that's awesome. I love the partnership.
Yeah, and we won't have an actual music room either. So our fantastic music teacher is going to be operating like I am this year out of classrooms, whatever. They've got it figured out, and she can do whatever, wherever. But if the original plan had stood, I'd kind of be in a no man's land.
You still
with the
wouldn't
library.
Have an exact space yet because it wouldn't be completed.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm very excited to be doing this because at the end of last, we've got two campuses, as you said. This past year, we moved all our second grade teachers over to Brown Road. So that went from a K-1 to a K-2 campus. So there's actually more students. Mm-hmm. There's over 600 students at that school. And then 3-5 is at the other campus. We've got about 1,200 kids in totality. So at the end of last year, we had to pack up and move the whole library that was at the 3-5 campus because that part of the building was being demolished so they could start construction right after mm-hmm. school let out. So we got moved into two classrooms up in the fourth and fifth grade hallway. Which it's working out fine. You know, you do what you got to do with what you got. I've got an instructional space. I've got my touch screen. I've got tables. We fit the whole collection in. The movers did an amazing job.
So you didn't weed before you did that?
Oh, we did. Yes, okay, we did. Okay. We weeded so about 6,000 books.
Wow, okay.
And the trick now is that I didn't have to really do much at the K2 campus last year, but now that it's January, this part of the year typically flies. We are very fast and furious continuing the weeding process because right now the 3-5 collection is sitting at about 13,000 books, and K2 is at about 5,000 books, and Holly wants me at 14 in total.
Is your new library designed? What's it designed to hold?
14,000.
Okay.
So,
in honesty, then you should be under that number a couple of thousand.
Yes.
So that you can add new books in as time goes.
And the bad thing is I can't stop buying books because kids come and say, oh, right, we need, and it's, I go spend the money, and then it's like, oh, we need to find another 1,000 books to get rid of. But we just finished our professional learning day, and Adam from Follett reminded me of the usefulness of that TitleWise analysis.
Yes.
So I just went into the 3-5 campus analysis and just pulled up everything in fiction that
I love that analysis. Yeah, I love looking at that information.
It's awesome, beneficial. But we've got books still in there. We've weeded from 10 years, 5 years, 3 years.
Yes.
And there's still books on the shelf that were published in 1954. So,
oh wow. Okay. Wow.
I'm just going to make the call that if it was published before the year 2000,
yes.
And it's just going to go away.
Well, and sometimes you have multiple copies of something, so maybe just go down to the one copy and not have three.
Yes.
You know, so that will help too.
And sometimes, especially those older classic titles, you need a refresh.
Right.
Anyway, yes.
And it might be a much loved story and a much loved copy, and you just need to purchase a new copy of it.
Yes. And that's what I've got two amazing paraprose. And Jill, who's my paraprofessional at the 3-5 campus, Holly has basically said, Jill, take over the weeding from her because she has too much of an emotional attachment to a lot of these books. Because she will, I came out of a classroom. Mm-hmm. And I love reading. I love teaching reading. I love everything about reading aloud to children. Mm-hmm. And some books that I see on the list, it's like a dagger to my heart. Oh. And Jill's like, just go away. You can buy another
one.
You know,
it's kind of like Anita said, when you buy the newer copy, it has the new jacket to it, so that it appeals to the kids more than the old hard covers. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So. And when, now I've been at Autry a long time, but I've weeded a lot of books over my time there, and my first couple of years I weeded a lot of books. And I remember though when I was genrefying, and I did a massive weeding before I genrefied. And my rule for fiction is if it hasn't been checked out in 3 years, mm-hmm. it goes. Well, it came to Little House on the Prairie. Oh, and Little Tear went there because I remembered reading that as a child. And then also Anna Green Gables.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I have newer copies of that or if it had to be weeded. I can't remember. I'd have to check my collection.
Well, now they got graphic novels for all these things that the kids go crazy. Yes. It's like Babysitter's Club. Mm-hmm. They go for the graphic novel and they're, oh, there's none there. Well, there's the whole... That doesn't look right. It's like, it's the same story. Mm-hmm. Make the pictures in your head.
Yes.
But it's, you know, it's hard to do, to part with all. But, you know, it's an opportunity to build up teacher libraries as long as the books are staying, you know, taxpayer money, as long as it's staying in the classroom.
So talk about the space a little bit. So you're only allowed to have 14,000 physical books. Is it set up more technology friendly in there for devices and stuff for students to read digitally, or is it still not going that direction for libraries, for school libraries,
or for elementary libraries?
No, it's really very exciting actually, because there's lots of instruction. There's lots of spaces in the new place. There are two large instructional spaces that have the ability to have, you know, teachers instructing with a flat panel, children on devices. And then there's also other little spaces. We've got the area that I want to sanction off as the read aloud space. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're going to put the book bins and kind of barrier that off with the ebooks so the littles can go in and mm-hmm. choose what they want there. And then we're going to have some high top seating for the older kids mm-hmm. that face out the windows. So if they're coming down to do some work, some group work, they can be positioned there. And then we've got the soft seating collaborative areas. And then we've got the collaborative tables and different study rooms where kids can be going. There could be several children in there, but they could all be doing their own thing. They just need a quiet space to be able
that
to
work. That
fascinates
me because elementary students could handle that, I'm guessing. Yes. Where in the middle school, there's no way we could give them our own private room for stuff.
Well, it's a glass room that so we can see. Okay. You know, you can see everything. Obviously, we have to be on top of that. But the thing is that right now, I love the library at the Brown Road campus. It's sweet and adorable, and there's this beautiful window that just looks out on this magnificent cherry tree. Mm-hmm. And we use it for I've only been at King Springs. This is my third year. But I love reading through the seasons and using that tree as a teaching tool for the kids talking about seasons, and they watch the leaves and they watch the cherry blossoms and all that stuff. It's really pretty. But it's a big, wide open space. And when you've got kindergartners in there, there cannot be dual instruction going on because they're too distracted. So the idea of somebody being able to read to a class at the same time instructing somebody.
So let's talk a little bit about the history of our buildings. Both of our buildings were open concept at one time. And
yes.
So the openness is there. I actually have a transition hallway that goes directly through
yes.
my library. There, it does not get closed off. There's no closing off of my library. It doesn't get shut down. You can't lock it up
nope.
or anything. It's open
nope.
all of the time.
Yep.
And so it was the same for you.
Yes, that's 3-5.
So in your new building, do you have doors?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then within those doors, you have this fabulous library that includes these instructional spaces, the reading spaces,
yes.
the quiet spaces, and
yes.
everything like that. I love it.
Yes.
I can't wait to see it.
And I have an office.
Yay!
I sit on a stool right now. Not that I'm in my office a lot, but it's nice.
I was in there when Beth was there still. So yeah, that little tiny
closet.
Yes.
Just being able to have a place to lock things up. I mean, I am very technology oriented. When I was in the classroom, I won a grant from Cobb County and was able to run a 1-to-1 classroom. And I do a lot with the
kids.
So
how is the technology going to work in there then? You'll have a laptop cart
yes.
and desktops and iPads or no?
I've got a lot of iPads because it's my every teacher in our school has 5 iPads for their classroom. But it's I have made it possible through our foundation, our PTA, who are extraordinarily generous. I've never seen such a
Isn't
thing
it amazing?
In my life.
We have amazing at Griffin as well.
It's great. I mean, I come from a title environment and not, mm-hmm. you know, if the parents could, they would have, but they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
This is just amazing, the generosity. But I have iPads that I have for the K-2 campus, and I have iPads that I have at the 3-5 campus. So if I go in, push into a classroom, or if a classroom comes to me, we have enough iPads to cover the entirety of the class, so
That's
every
awesome.
Child can have a device. So when we come back together again, I am not going to need 40 iPads for me. So I'll partition off 20 mm-hmm. to a cart. So then the teachers will be able to
mm-hmm.
check out a cart or whatever. You know, we're moving forward. My principal is very, very much into having kids put their hands on technology, not for just the sake of using technology, but she wants them to be creative and collaborative.
Yes.
And so we've built in the 3 years since I've been there, I've got a laptop cart at both campuses for my use. We've gotten a cart for 5th grade, 4th grade, 3rd grade, 2nd grade. So the only grade levels that do not have a cart that they use right now are first grade and kindergarten, but I push in a lot to help them because teaching the littles how to manage that is a little overwhelming if you're the only teacher in the class. But the beauty is they're touchscreen laptops, so the littles can use them just fine. And the teachers have started to see how it is very child-friendly to be able to use those as opposed to using iPads all the time. But eventually, we'll get a cart for... first grade will take the cart I have at the K-1 campus. That will be their cart, and then we just need to get kindergarten one.
Okay, so I have a very important question to ask.
Yes.
My question is, will the Dawn Treader... be in the new library?
Now, the Dawn Treader went down with that part of the building. They tried to, they auctioned it off because so many parents were interested in having that.
Those that don't know, the Dawn Treader is the boat in the Narnia series, and they had a very gorgeous rendition of the Dawn Treader in the library as a reading nook.
Yes.
I don't want to say loft because it wasn't really a loft.
No.
But it had like a mast and everything. Yeah. It was gorgeous.
Yes, I banged my head on that mast many times. I'm 5'8" and I couldn't tuck under it. But yes, they tried to auction it off. They auctioned it off, and several people, parents that had won the bid, the first group came in and they were like, I don't know how I can get this out of here. So then they passed it on to the second, and they, in the end, they couldn't figure it out how to get it out of there and make it be something that they could reuse, which is sad. But yes, that went down with the building when that was imploded. So
in the new space, because I know everybody's going to be wondering about this, do you have a dedicated makerspace?
I'm very excited about that. I think I will. I have to see what the other rooms look like, but I have been investing in maker materials and only have been able to use them sporadically. And now, with going back and forth between two campuses and now one of the spaces being like just two classrooms, I can't leave that all to my parapros to run on days that I'm not there. So right now we're kind of, it's like, oh yay, we're going to have all this awesomeness for next year. So yes, I'm going to want to marry Elizabeth over at Addison. I went and visited her for our last professional learning day, and she's amazing with the maker centers and things like that. So, and she's very gracious and generous in sharing all that stuff. So I looked at how she had things set up, and I would like to replicate that where it may be not necessarily a maker room, but to have these stations and just make sure that the kids get taught how to use the things that they want to use and then give the teachers the ideas of how they can integrate that station into their curriculum along the way. But it's fun to see, because even with the littles at the K2 campus, I bought big polyhedron blocks. They love building stuff that they can crawl inside.
They still do at the middle school. They do it with the furniture.
But it's just fun to watch them do it. But we've scaled back on that because we've got so many kids. We had to use the computer labs as classrooms. So now on our block days, because every week, each campus on Wednesday it's block day at the Little People campus, on Fridays it's at the Big People campus. So now on those days for the computer lab block, they have to be in the Learning Commons space using the Learning Commons cart. So we don't serve kids those days because it's being used for instruction that way. And because we're short that day at the K2 campus, I've had to go to 8 segments a day on the other 4 days to meet the needs of all our classroom teachers, so they all can at least come in once during that week. So it's every half hour, which doesn't leave me a lot of time to do other stuff in the library with the kids. If I'm going to be helping teach them or work with different tools and so forth, I have to go into the classrooms and do it that way. So it'll be nice to be in a space where we can schedule time.
I'm trying to envision it as you're talking, like what it's all going to look like. Yeah. I can't wait to see it.
Well, the uber exciting part is we've actually gotten down to the meeting and talking about fabric and picking furniture. And I got to say, Holly is amazing at that. And my boss... It's very funny because she...
I can still see her right now.
I know. She doesn't, you know, she's like, interior design, not my forte. She's an amazing principal, but, you know, don't ask her to design your house for you. But the Holly's expertise and then the folks from Georgia Specialty that are helping with all this made this process so simple. Just coming in and saying, we told them what tones we wanted, you know, because we went and looked around and it, some of the newer facilities and, you know, one, they're nice big spaces, but there's certain things that will appeal to certain people. I can't do big fluorescent lighting in my face all day long, you know. And one place we looked at is really bright. The other one had more subdued lighting, more subdued color schemes, and it just, I felt calm. And I was talking to my principal about that, and when we walked out and I was like, came out of one place and I was almost twitching, and she's like, what's wrong? I said, oh no, I feel agitated, all that color and the bright lights and everything. She goes, oh, we can't have you agitated. So they That's really awesome. Did a nice job picking palettes for us, and we got fabric chosen, we got the matching coordinating colors on the seats and everything, the carpet. So it's really starting to take shape. It's getting very exciting.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
This sounds great.
So this will be like something, this is a question that Anita, I'm surprised you haven't asked. It kind of caught on to like the para situation.
Well, I was going to ask, was there a para at each school right now?
Yes.
And she answered that.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if she's going to keep both of them or?
No, and this is this.
Is that the question you had?
Yes, because she's got a really great one at K2 as well, who's a singer and, you know, plays the guitar for the kids.
I can honestly say there's probably very few media specialists that have a bona fide mechanical engineer as a parapro and then has a bona fide former rock musician that I myself used to go watch play shows in Buckhead. They're both fantastic. Jill at the 3-5 campus has just finished her
media. Did she graduate?
Yes.
She's awesome. Yes. Guys, she's graduating from West Georgia in the library media program.
Yes.
So she worked as a para as well to complete her program. It's awesome.
Terribly competent, super nice person, just very accommodating. I've been having to tell her sometimes, you gotta start saying no. No is a good word in our profession sometimes. You know, it's my hope, not that I want to see her go, but it's my hope that she gets an awesome school.
Of course,
next
of course.
Year, and gets we to run her own show.
We have to support each other in our growth and movement in our careers and everything.
Yeah.
So.
And we were just talking about this out there when we were having our meeting. We were talking about barcodes and barcode tracking and stuff like that. And I looked across the space to my former parapro, who is now a library media specialist next door to me. And I went, Lisa from North Cobb, you may be having to come over to help me with this because barcode tracking is not my thing.
Yeah.
Mine either. So when you guys do that little training, I need to be in
it's
on that.
Oh, it's not a training. She comes over and does it for me.
Oh, she just does it for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's told me before it's a lot easier for her just
to
do it.
I will put her in connection with my para so my para can do it for me.
Yeah.
Well,
but she used to do it for you.
That's it. When I came to King Springs, I was like, I can't even make sense, because I knew at Fair Oaks I'd only been in the library there for a year, I guess, before I moved. Maybe it was longer than that, maybe 2 years. I don't even know.
Well, I don't think we mentioned that Susan is a former teacher, and what you taught, social studies?
I taught fifth grade everything.
Okay, so she's a fifth grade teacher, so she came from the classroom into the library.
When I got to King Springs, I was like, I can't figure out, especially having the two campuses, because we have to run two totally separate catalogs. And
that is just amazing.
I couldn't figure, so I called, God rest her soul, Susie Dalton, who came.
Love Susie.
And she was
we
amazing.
Miss her.
Yeah. she came and she said, listen, girl, this is so easy. And she took out her ruler and she drew a line through all the check digits. And she goes, this is all you need to know. And she said, these are where your barcodes are. It doesn't matter, you know. And so she went into the thing that we went over today in Destiny on how to try. And she started putting the barcode ranges in for me. And she's like, you just need to use this. And, she taught me how to do it, but
I'm not a math person. And
well, it's just, you know, it's one of those not fun pieces of the job, but it's a necessity because when you duplicate barcodes, it's really a nightmare. That's why you always preview the import before you do it, because I almost made the mistake of importing my records once and without doing the preview. I thought I had already done it, and it's a good thing I didn't, because I had a bunch of duplicates in there, because it was at the K2 campus. That school's been used for several different schools. It was Teasley, it was Brown, it was Teasley, then it was King Springs, and somewhere along the line, I would have duplicated a bunch of stuff, so I didn't do it.
Yeah, I need to get that area cleaned up in my library for sure, the barcodes things. Okay, so you guys, I hope you picked up on this, but Susan has been managing essentially two different libraries for one school. So,
and you've been doing this for a couple years now.
This is my third year.
Yes. 3 years, wow.
And I read in other states where library media specialists manage 3-4 campuses. Yeah. So they're going from campus to campus to campus. So I find that, wow, okay. First of all, the impact on the library's closed when you're not there, or it's open with a para.
It's open with a para. Okay. And that's what, Jill and Jim do an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
J&J. Jill is, because she's finished her degree and I have such a technology background, oftentimes now when people sign up for lessons for some integrating some type of technology for the product or whatever, or even for research using Cobb Digital Library, I'll talk to Jill ahead of time. She'll run the lesson and I'll just be there to jump in if I need to, because I want her to have a good footing, because that's the hard part of the job. Mm-hmm. If you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what happened when Lisa was at Autry as my parapro. She, I got called from Andy, who was our supervisor at the time, saying, how do you feel about having somebody for 1 year? And I'm like, well, I just had somebody for 1 year and they moved to the office. I'd rather have somebody long term, but let me have their name and we'll interview them. And she and I hit it off gangbusters. Mr. Crawford was in the interview, and when she walked out, he went, I think our decision's made. And I went, I think so too. Andy had asked me to, because she had no classroom experience and he knew I was strong and instructional, even though I'd only been there for a year. So that's why he reached out to me. Mm-hmm. And she would watch me do the lesson 3 times. Mm-hmm. And then the 4th time, I go, okay, Lisa, you're on. And then she would take over the lesson. And I gave her that educational background that she needed to be a media specialist.
Yeah. Well, and we were talking, well, I guess it was when we were in our vertical teams today.
Yes.
And just talking about what people do, and my comment to Lori was, I'm a teacher at heart. I just happen to have one of the best jobs a person could possibly have, because I get to serve every teacher in the school. I get to serve every student in the school, every grade level. I get to read books, I get to buy books, I get to spend other people's money
to do so.
On books.
Exactly. But you would not recommend that as a multiple campus thing.
No. I do. I know there are places out there that are doing without a media specialist. I know there's media specialists here doing without parapros in this county, full-time, and I'm thinking, well, I'm going to keep my mouth shut because I got a really good thing going on here. But it has to be, because we can't close off the library to half our student population. Mm-hmm. Just because I can't split myself in two.
Right.
Our administration
has to... But there
should
be a full-time media specialist. And this is a special situation because it's actually one school and two campuses.
Yeah, other schools in the county that have done this have actually split. They've become two separate schools. They have their own administration. They've got their own media specialists and so forth. And by all rights, we could. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got enough numbers on both campuses to be an actual school. But...
So does your principal and administration split also?
They do. And they you know, it just every afternoon they're figuring out who's going to be where in the morning, who's got meetings, who's got observations here, you know, because they divide up the teams as to who's responsible for evaluations and so forth, parent meetings. Mm-hmm. So it's the bookkeeper, myself, and our admin team go between two campuses.
And what's the distance between the two campuses?
1.5 miles, so you can't walk it.
I don't think there's a sidewalk for you to walk
it. No, I'd have to go down South Cobb.
Very dangerous road.
Yeah,
I would not recommend
that. You do have to get in your car and drive it, but it's quick enough that if, like, I had a teacher yesterday that it was at, where was I yesterday? I was at the Little People campus, and she emailed me and said, "Are you here today?" It's like, where are you? Because I'm over here, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I'm at my classroom." So I said, she said, "Are you going to come back this way?" I said, "If you need me to, I will." And she said, "Nah, it's not important. Do what you're doing over there, and I'll catch you when you're over here." So, you know, it just
I bet it's just going to, I think you're amazing for doing this, for, by the way, for the two different campuses, but I think the kids are, I can't, to be able to see all of them every day is going to be great for you.
Yeah.
For them. So,
It's going to be exciting for everybody. Mm-hmm. And, they're going to be excited with the new space, and the teachers are going to love it too, because right now they can't really, the upper grades, the intermediate grades, really can't just say, go into the library, and because the space is so small, we might be instructing at that moment, or, you know, Jill could be reading, I'm not there, she can't assist. We don't let kids just get on computers without supervision, so... you know, it'll be like a whole new world.
So is your circulation desk huge, or is it toned down a little bit, or?
It's in the new place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, it's so pretty. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
It's not ginormous.
I expect to see pictures on Twitter, just
yes,
saying.
Yeah, no, it's, and for people that are listening to this, they won't be able to picture, but it's like Jamie's at Mountain View.
Okay.
But I still have a book drop, because that's important to me to have the kids know where...
She doesn't have a book drop?
Well, I don't know if she does.
Oh,
hers
okay.
goes all the way back to the
okay.
wall. Mine's doesn't... Mine can pass... I can
okay.
pass through behind mine.
Okay.
But that was a lot of thought. I mean, that you'd think these
it's
things
so funny,
would...
isn't it?
Because the...
Let's talk circulation.
Yeah, well, we did. We spent about a half an hour, and that's what we were laughing about this morning in one of the meetings, because the guy, the company that's making the desk for us reported back to our specialty supply rep and just, like, drew a picture and said, book drop. Can do this with a smiley face, can't do this for where the actual slot goes.
Okay.
And the meaning was that one part would have to be rough because they weren't going to finish it out, but if we did it in this other area, it would be a nice finished look to it. So, you know, and that's where Holly is amazing, because she knows all this stuff.
Yeah.
And several times during the meeting, they'd be talking, and Cindy and I'd be shaking our head, and they'd say, what do you think? And I'd say, what Holly just said.
Yes.
You know, so...
So does it have a space for, like, a para to have her own space to work, and then a space for you, or
yes,
are you strictly working out of your office now, brand new office?
I know. It's the brand new office that I'm so excited I'll have and will never be in.
Right.
The circ desk is going to have two desktops on it.
Okay.
So... we can be running to there, and of course they're building a special we've got a load bearing beam that's at one part of the space that they're going to build a special table around to have desktop lookup stations.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. And then
that's what I would love to have around the beam in the middle of my library, but the funding hasn't been there yet. Yeah. So.
Well, and it's, you know, I've been being dragged kicking and screaming, and I think now I'm going to do it is when we make this shift, I'm going to genrefy our fiction collection.
Okay.
Which will make that piece a little less cumbersome. Our kids are really good about looking up books and logging in and putting holds on their own books. They know they not to put a hold on a book that's sitting on the shelf and all that stuff. But I think especially for the little kids, it just makes it a lot easier for them.
Yes.
If they're, you know, obsessed with pugs. they can go and find
them. And they
it.
Are.
Yes.
And you don't think unicorns.
Well, what happens is they'll go to the animal fiction section or the animal section, and then they'll find the pug books, but then the next time maybe they'll want the Dalmatian books.
Right.
Or maybe the next time they'll want a lizard book. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. But it broadens. I've noticed that with my students. It broadens what they're reading, even though they're staying in the same genre.
Right.
They're trying different authors and things like that.
Yes. So it's a very exciting time if I can make it
through.
We're
excited for you. Yeah. We're always excited when we see new things happening or getting, you know, new stuff or innovations happening for our library spaces. Yeah. I wish every library media specialist could get a brand new library that's state of the art and everything like that. So we live vicariously through the ones who do.
Yes. Well, and it's not without a few aches and pains and blood, sweat, and tears to get there. So it's the one thing that keeps you hanging on is the hope. But, you know, if it wasn't happening,
you just
rock and roll
doing whatever you are.
You know, you make the best of what you, like I said, we got the best job in the world, so... You know,
I agree.
You don't wake up in the morning and go, oh, darn, I have to go buy some books and read some books and see cute little kids every day. Oh, darn it.
So. I know. And they are adorable at the elementary level.
They
gets
really
me
are.
Every time. So,
they really are.
So before we sign off, what's the first thing you're going to do when you open up your new library? What's the first thing?
Take pictures to post on Twitter. For us to see.
Are you having a grand opening? Are you gonna do a major instructional lesson the very first day or second?
Well,
not the first day of school.
Not the first day. We're gonna have to do major orientations because we're all gonna have to get oriented. But I'd like to do some type of grand opening with big book promotions. I'm planning on at the end of this year investing a lot of this year's budget into new books that I won't take out of the boxes until we get into the new space. So then I'll have new books to put on display for the kids and get them jazzed up.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, just gonna put a hint out there. All of your Cobb LMS peers would love to have a formal invitation to come and tour.
Oh, sure. Anytime. I love visiting. You know, like I said earlier, I go on Twitter and look at all that's going on in just our county, and it gives me a little anxiety because it's like, oh my gosh, how do people do all? But, you know, everybody does.
But you are doing it. You're just not posting it, like I said.
I know. But
that's all. She does a lot, you guys. She does a lot in her space. She's a phenomenal instructional leader and partner in her school.
And stuff that, you know, you just want to do. And right now, that's part of my angst is that I can't do that right now.
I know.
Can't do that right now. But next year, it's going to be a whole new game. So.
Yes.
Okay, so in case somebody out there that's listening wants to find you on Twitter, what is your Twitter handle?
It's at Sugary17.
Sugaree17.
Yes.
All right. So now you know how to find Susan on Twitter, and you can follow her and see all the cool things that she does. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. We're very excited for
you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, cool.
Just a reminder that everything we say is our own opinions and not the opinions of our school or our district.